This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource of pilots and aircraft owners.
Hi, this is Mary Grady for AvWeb. I'm talking with Brent Blue, and he's been involved for a few years with advocating for through-the-fence access to airports in the face of various regulations coming down from the FAA. And recently, the FAA released their newest policy on this issue and asked for comments. So, Brent, I know you have some ideas about how you'd like to respond to this.
Well, the background of this is that the FAA, about 4 years ago, through two people in their airport office in D.C., Randall Burtz and Catherine Lang, decided that residential through-the-fence access to airports was not an appropriate use of adjacent land at airports. And it was specifically their bias. And so it literally took 3 years of work and literally an act of Congress to get this essentially eliminated. And the what has happened is that provision in Congress was an amendment to the FAA reauthorization bill that was passed in February 2012. So now the FAA has come out with actually their policy that is supposed to reflect the through-the-fence access policy that Congress has passed. And this new policy has a few shortcomings, but it has the basic allocation or permission to have through-the-fence access at federally funded airports, but there are still some issues with it.
Okay, so I guess you would see this as progress then to some extent, but what are the issues that remain?
Well, the progress is that the Congress basically said that residential through-the-fence access at federally funded airports is an appropriate use of land adjacent to airports, and that airports could not have their airport improvement program funding restricted because of through-the-fence agreements to residential property. So the FAA has come out with their policy, and they put a few zingers in there, like they basically have said that airports have to have all agreements with residential through-the-fence users approved by the FAA prior to signing by the airports. And there's nothing in the federal legislation that suggests that should be a requirement. And all that is a bureaucratic hassle and a bureaucratic delay that has no purpose. It doesn't do anything to essentially help the airport. It doesn't do anything to help the FAA. The FAA can't deny the contract. All they can do is delay things. And so we consider that just a ridiculous requirement that's in this policy. Another issue that is important is that they have stated that these agreements can't be for a duration of greater than 20 years. And the problem with the 20-year rule is that most mortgages are 30-year mortgages. So if somebody wants to buy a hangar home with through-the-fence access and they only can show their bank that they can have 20-year access and they don't know what's going to happen after 20 years, that obviously affects their ability to get a mortgage. And there's nothing in the federal legislation that has any restrictions of time whatsoever. In fact, it is very specific in saying that these agreements can be before, at the time of, or after the legislation was passed by Congress. So there really isn't any time restriction at all, according to the people who lead our country.
So have you been at work to file comments on this, or have other people? And I guess I'm wondering what kind of support you're getting from the pilot community or pilot associations?
Well, we've had tremendous support from the pilot community, and people are filing their comments on a regular basis now. Unfortunately, the FAA only gave us 30 days, and the filing deadline is the 29th of August. So we still have about 13 days to get things filed with the FAA. But I'm waiting to see. I know that the EAA is planning to file their information sometime in the next few days. I'm not sure where the AOPA stands on things, but it's important for anyone who has any at all thoughts about through the fence access and the viability of airports in the future. This is an important policy to comment on.
So this does have implications for pilots or users beyond just the people who own these homes?
Well, I believe so, because one of the things, for instance, at our local airport in Driggs, Idaho, half the airport board's budget comes from through the fence fees around the airport, and that's a significant amount of money. And through the fence agreements and people with residential through the fence homes provide viability, and they provide security, and they provide an economic future for these airports. And that's why this is important for everybody. So if somebody's using that airport and they want that airport to be there in the next 20 years, it's important to support residential through the fence access.
Okay, so if our listeners want to know more about this or want to know what the policy is or how to file comments, where would they go for more information?
Most of the information is at throughthefence.org, and that's just spelled out throughthefence.org, where we have all the FAA policies, all the background information, information on various individual airports around the country, and it also has the history of how this all started 4 years ago and how we got the legislation passed.
Okay, well, thanks a lot, Brent. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, not at this time, but thank you very much, Mary. I appreciate being on and appreciate your asking all the questions.
All right, well, thank you.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. For more information on Aviation Consumer, log on to www.aviationconsumer.com.